Mystic Fix, a program for the whole being, with Julia Gordon-Bramer on News Talk STL.
Welcome to Mystic Fix. I'm Julia Gordon-Bramer. I'm a poet, a scholar of mysticism, and author of the forthcoming book, Tarot Life Lessons, which I'll tell you more about later. I've got Anton as engineer in the studio with me today. Woo! And I could not be happier to have his light, his positive energy, as today's episode deals with one of the harder cards in the tarot, which is the Tower. The Tower is a crisis card. It's about blow-ups, tragedies, and everything falling apart. But I like to say that when we pull the tower, the foundation is wrong, the building has to come down, it's time to rebuild. So it's not all bad, but it's rough. That's what this Mystic Fix is all about, crisis and rebuilding. And I've got a really special guest, Rob Alderman, who is a former man of the cloth turned PR guy, to share his own story and to give us tips for coping with crisis through spirituality. Let's take a listen. I am so happy today to welcome my friend Rob Alderman, who goes way, way back, probably some close to 30 years, right?
Oh, sure.
Rob Alderman grew up the son of a music minister in a Pentecostal church. He later left Indiana to attend Lee University, a Church of God school in Cleveland, Tennessee. After experiencing crippling anxiety and panic attacks, Alderman studied meditational and Orthodox faith, which led him to become an ordained Anglican priest. He then attended Bethel Theological Seminary in St. Paul, Minnesota, where he attained his master's in theology. His thesis focus was on the pop culture and ecclesiology, which is such a cool combination, studying the places where Christianity and secular culture collide. So welcome, Rob.
I'm super excited. it's a lot of fun. When I hear that bio, I'm much older than I was when we met.
Yeah, I think you were 19, right?
most of that had not happened.
So those who don't know anything about you, you were first my cartoonist and a writer for Night Times magazine back in the 1990s, and we met on the Matthew Sweet Prodigy bulletin board.
That's right. We were paying by the minute.
And it's a quality friendship, and it has endured all this time. You know, one thing, we've been in touch over the years, and I guess I knew you had some anxiety, but I didn't know it was crippling the way you've described it. And the theme of this episode of Mystic Fix is kind of in alignment with the Tower card, which is basically, you know, freakouts, trauma, tragedy, anxiety, certainly a part of it. And maybe you could share a little bit about that journey.
The Tower card. I don't know much about tarot.
And you don't have to.
I'm for it. You know, the older I get, it's funny, you know, growing up evangelical, mm-hmm. You start out not for much. You start out kind of, and that's, you know, something we'll get into later is one of the main reasons that I really embraced Orthodox faith was I started to realize that so much about my evangelical faith, which I still love. And, you know, I wouldn't call myself, there are people who call themselves, you know, deconstructed or ex-evangelicals or, and usually that just means they're very angry. and I wouldn't put myself there. That's not a thing I would say. But it always is better to know what you're for. And there's so much about the evangelical faith that was, I'm against it. Even in later in life, as I studied ecclesiology and pop culture, I would learn so much that, you know, the Orthodox faith has the lectern to the side. So the reason that the evangelical faith has the lectern in the middle is just so it wouldn't be like the Orthodox faith, right? I'm against that. And so that led me to kind of, I guess, push further and further into things that I'm for. And one of the things that I'm for, I was listening to your podcast so that I'd be more acquainted for this. And in particular, I was listening to the episode about death.
Yeah.
And it was so moving and just so, it was so beautiful. And I was thinking about you and our friendship over the years and this woman that you were speaking to. And she was like saying, you know, in particular, she's talking about prayer and well wishing and the healing of the body, and it only goes so far. And I think at some point you said, you know, cars break down, and I got so emotional. I pulled over on the side of the road and I was thinking, like, right, yeah, cars break down in a lot of ways. And so therefore we have to be for so many things. There's a lot of ways to fix a car. There's not just one way to fix a car. And so I'm for so much now that I don't even know, you know, but I think, yeah, if there's a card about freak outs and worry, that would be good.
Well, you know, you say about what you're for, and I think of the kind of business model today is, don't give me more problems, give me solutions, right?
That's right. Yeah.
Kind of similar thinking.
Well, that's on my arm. It says, you know, all hail our the tagline of my business, the Alderman Group, is all hail solutions.
Oh, cool.
And we've built around that idea that we're not just marketing, or we're not just this, or we're not just that, but ultimately we're here to help people fix a problem. Anyway, there you go. I don't know how I went down that tangent. Because of your podcast, I was thinking about it.
Well, that means so much that it affected you. And the person you're talking about is my friend, Suze Mondello, who at this time of recording is still hanging in there. Amazingly. I did that interview with her February 14th, okay.
A lot of wisdom, and there's a lot of beauty in that podcast.
And it really grounded me in, like, what am I complaining about from day to day? You know, oh, my heel hurts, I have plantar fasciitis. Sure. You know, and I don't want to diminish people's pain, but when you look at someone dying of cancer, suddenly you really put things in perspective.
Right. Yeah.
But on the flip side, anxiety is real. And yeah. I have known people, and maybe you are one of them, who wound up in emergency rooms thinking they're having heart attacks.
Yeah.
And so I thought you would be a very good person to kind of help us through the spiritual side of anxiety.
Sure. Well, I can tell you, I vividly remember the first panic attack that I ever had. And I was in a Chili's in downtown Chattanooga, and I was pastoring a small church in North Chattanooga at the time. And we had all gone out for dinner. And I remember we were having a great time. We were laughing. I was surrounded by people I like. I was in a city I like. I was not in any danger. Life was good in most ways. I had a good job, and, I was in a band that was doing real well, and pastoring a church. It's like the trifecta of things that could be going well. And I stood up to go use the restroom. I remember I got to the restroom in the Chili's. I like walked down the hall, and as I entered the restroom, I just thought, I knew it's wrong to use the words I thought. I knew I was dying. I knew I was about to be dead of a heart attack. Huh. Not a heart attack. At that time, it hadn't manifested that it was a heart attack. But at that time, I was positive that I would be dead within moments. And so I turned around and I went back to the table to the other men that were also pastors at that church, who I trusted. I sat down and I said, I'm not okay. I'm going to die. And And that was the first time that that happened. I didn't die, obviously. And
can I ask how old you were?
Oh, I was probably 25.
Mm-hmm. So a young man, no reason, right? No medical reasons.
Yeah, no medical reasons. Uh-huh. And then it didn't happen again for a long time. And then it would happen with more frequency. And I did end up in the hospital. I would feel pain. I would feel really terror. It was the certainty of death. It was the being so positive that it's imminent. I think really, and through a lot of therapy, I'm a big mental health proponent. I think normalizing mental health is, really in the church, especially even then. Like, we've made huge strides since then, even just in the last 20 years, you didn't just talk about mental illness or anxiety or panic. That's not like a thing that you did, because people would say, well, like, your trust should be in God, or if it's your time, it's your time. Or
yeah, you had a different kind of baggage as a pastor.
Yeah. And so people would want to just pray for you, and I'll pray for you. I still feel like I'm going to die, and so I really did. I was lucky to have some people in my sphere who were counselors, and to get with them. And I actually think a lot of it stemmed from the fact that I was sort of going from young man to man.
Uh-huh.
I was making a transition as, at that point, having my first kid and working an important job or whatever. And, now having the responsibility of being a pastor.
All those people depending on you.
Yeah. And so, it was not long after I met you, actually, that my father died. And
I remember that.
And I was really, that was a trauma. I had a great relationship with my dad, and we were very close, and he was beloved. And, he had this job, and he had this family, and he was very active in our church and all these things. And really, over years of therapy, it was really uncovering that trauma had kind of stayed with me in a way that I was realizing, oh, I'm becoming a man. This is where I die.
Mm.
Up until that moment, really, and I think you would know, you have a lot of people that knew me at the time you first met me. I was certainly a person who thought I was bulletproof.
Yeah.
I would, as
most 19-year-old boys do.
Yeah. Right? I would go anywhere, do anything, walk down any alley.
We crashed a wedding together, right?
It's not a problem. It's no problem, And that
you
wedding
met could rock be, stars.
That's right. It could have been in East St. Louis. I would have still gone and never thought. And it was sort of like these panics were coming out of the fact that I was loving things that weren't myself. Mm. When I was younger, I just loved myself, and that's such a loving yourself. On one hand, is such a deep, difficult ask for some people. Some people never get there. They live their whole lives and they never love themselves. And so they really have a hard time loving anybody else. And then you have somebody like me. Like, I grew up in a very supportive, very loving. I had no reason not to love myself. Mm-hmm. And I was just learning how to love my child, or actually like love a wife or love a congregation. And that all just sort of fell in on me, and then, continued to fall in on me for many years.
And don't you think, especially for me, when I had a child, my first child, all my stuff came up about how I grew up and was raised. And yeah, I mean, I think it's maybe just part of the process, right?
Yeah. And it affected me in this very, you know, what began to really emerge was this, this thing, you know, some of your listeners may be aware of this verbiage, but it's called intrusive thought. And so two things really plague me, even to this day. They're managed, but they are part of my everyday life, which is, you know, catastrophizing things, thinking, what is the absolute worst version of this, right? Well, it's standing in a Chili's and you're going to die. You know, you're going to leave your newborn son with no father. And then the other is intrusive thought, which is like these terrible, crippling feelings that I'm going to do something horrible, like kill my son, or, you know, drive a car full of people off a cliff, or, you know, whatever. And what I learned over years of counseling was actually that this is coming from an intense amount of focus. You know, when we talk about people, obviously, like I'm a prototypical ADD kid. And anybody out there who's listening to this, you could search Rob Alderman and you'll find like I'm in everything. I'm doing everything. And people mistake ADD for having no focus, but actually, like ADD is like you have massive focus about one thing. You know, it's like when you should be doing your grades, you're actually thinking about being in a rock band. And when you should be cleaning your room, you're thinking about being in a rock band. And when you should be doing the dishes, you're thinking about being in a rock band. And right. And so the way intrusive thought manifests itself with me was it sort of co-opted that extreme focus. Right. So when you and I met, and I was working for night times, it's all I thought about. And I would leave school and get in the car and drive to St. Louis and go see shows and then write about those shows or do cartoons about those shows and go back and do it again. And that was like all I wanted to do.
Which is a long journey for a 19-year-old from Tennessee.
Yeah. It was worse from Indiana. The first trip. Yeah. The original trip, I think, scared my parents the most. But it is a long trip. Right. But just that hyper focus that like.
Right. We were talking on your last visit here about how you met me on the internet and you're trying to tell your parents that this random woman from Prodigy was gonna let you stay at her place. And
well, at that point I was having to explain the internet.
Right.
No, I was trying to explain to my parents what the internet is and how a person from St. Louis could even be on it.
You were giving your parents all kinds of anxiety.
Yeah, sure.
Rob, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back and we'll maybe get some techniques recommended by you for dealing with anxiety.
It's getting dark. Absolutely. I'm lost and scared. I can't find shelter anywhere. You told me give it all away. Just trust it. We'll come back someday. I gave my body and my voice.
This is Mystic Fix with Julia Gordon Bramer on News Talk STL.
Was there a choice and was it mine? I lent out every stitch I had. I gave you.
And we are back with Rob Alderman. We're talking about anxiety and crisis and how we manage these things. A lot of people have had, I saw people, strong people, just fall apart during COVID. And it really changed lives. People who I looked at as mentors suddenly became racked with fear. And then others, like I think my life actually almost got better. I found a new way to sort of, you know, get to know my neighbors and be more community oriented in ways I hadn't been before. Started Zoom groups and various things. But what were some of your tools and techniques? I mean, not just with COVID, but, you know, getting out of your anxiety. Like, what did you learn?
Yeah, well, I think it, specifically technique wise, mindfulness in everything. you know, constantly checking in with yourself and asking, where am I and what am I doing, really?
And we had a Buddhist monk on our on one of our earlier shows talk about mindfulness. But just to recap, well, how would you describe it? Because it's such a buzzword that sometimes it's used so much people don't really know what it means.
Sure. For me, so for me, mindfulness is the very intentional act of taking stock of where I am and what is actually happening. So in my case, I have crippling anxiety and I would think I was having a heart attack. And so I had to learn to immediately ask myself, does anything hurt? Am I
on the feeling, physical level?
Am I feeling a physical pain? Right. So in that sense, mindfulness was I'm here. I feel no pain. If this was a heart attack, I would feel pressure in my chest, or I'd feel pain in my arm or in my neck. And then I would move from there to just say, well, it's now been 10 minutes. And if I was having a heart attack, I'd be dead. Mm-hmm. But I'm not dead. I'm here. And I'm in this room. You know, right now I'm in the basement room of our home. And I really feel like not only is that such a fantastic technique for massive panic or massive anxiety, but it's so good for standard navigation of life, is mm-hmm. that 99% of our life is nowhere near, like we're not spending 99% of our time in trauma. Many people have experienced terrible trauma. Many people are experiencing horrible things. But really, for most people, when you add that up, it's a very small amount of our lifetime, but we allow it to affect us so deeply for so long.
Yeah.
And so mindfulness pulls us out of the fear of what might happen. And mm-hmm. it pulls us out of the trauma of what has happened. And it lets us live right here, right
in the present moment, which is where the Buddhists say is the only place of peace. You know, the Buddhists say, if you're depressed, you're in the past. If you're anxious, you're in the future. So you're echoing the same teaching.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And for me too, right. You know, that's when we talked earlier in the earlier segment about I'm for it, right. Like I'm for this Buddhist thought, you know, and for me, that's clearly apparent in the teachings of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. You know, Jesus says, consider the birds, right? Like they have food. Consider the flowers, they have rain, right? And he's saying, you know, there's this one part where he says, like, the bird doesn't worry about where it's going to eat. How much more love does the Father have for you?
Yeah.
Right. And so much of the teachings of Christ are along that line of like these very grounded, the world says be anxious, but I tell you be at peace. The world says to be angry, but I tell you to love. The world says to this, but I say to this, right? And so I think mindfulness is all through the New Testament, in the actual words of Jesus. And I think through the Old Testament, through kind of the ways that the people lived and the routine that they lived. And
I love that.
And so I found myself just more in harmony. You know, if you are a Christian, if that is your path, and you really lean in, you will find yourself in agreement with a lot more people than you thought, right? Like Jesus is mostly saying, love each other, be chill, be kind, live in this moment, you know?
Yeah.
And so that I think, and in COVID, right, I think the people who did the best, right, were the people who really found ways to maintain their humanity and their connected humanity with others. I have a group of guys that I have been in one way or another smoking cigars with regularly for 25 years of my life. Easily. I mean, people that I knew when I first met you. Easily. I mean, it's a long time. And it was interesting, that group that met on the regular during COVID, we met even more. Mm-hmm. Right? We didn't meet less. We just went on our back decks, opened our computers, and got our cigars and zoomed in and spent time. And in a lot of ways, right, that was even more connective because there was no distractions of the cigar lounge. There were no cars going by. It was just us and the birds and our friends. And I think there's a depth. If you can settle yourself into what it really means to be human, right, and embrace that, then it's very, very hard to box that in, whether that's a global pandemic or it's anxiety or it's panic. And as I moved out of my own personal panic in life, it was as I embraced the Orthodox faith and this idea of mindfulness. And I learned that from other Anglicans. Right? So there's a community, there's a humanity of people saying, you know, I see you, I see that you're hurting, and be at peace, be here right now with us.
It's got to be a tremendous pressure to have a congregation turning to you. I mean, I know just as a tarot card reader, my clients, you know, sometimes they come to me in all kinds of states of upset and they want me to fix them, you know, and that's not exactly possible. Sometimes I can calm them down. Sometimes I can give them a little bit of peace, but I imagine the pressure on you would be way worse.
Yeah, my first night as a pastor, the very first night, I got a call. There was a snowstorm here, and one of the people in my congregation, her father attempted suicide with a shotgun and was in the hospital. Ooh. And so, you know, I thought, well, this is the job, you know, and I got in the car and I drove to downtown Chattanooga, and these people I've never met are looking at me saying, you know, what does God have to say about, you know, about it? I'll say, even then, and I was lucky, I've seen pastors have a real hard time of this, right? There's this terrible, terrible, cultural thing, especially in evangelical Christianity, that like the pastor has to be a Superman. And thankfully, that's going away, right? Pastors think that about themselves, but the congregations always knew they were human. and so for me, I was really lucky that my congregation and then later the people at my seminary were so loving and understanding of my brokenness at the time.
When, you know, I think I saw this a lot with COVID, the people who don't have faith, like I really worry, people who say, nope, don't believe in anything, you know, no higher power. You know, I always tell people, I don't care what you call it. You can say God, you can say source, you can say spirit, you can say higher power or even energy. But if you don't believe in anything, it's a empty, lonely place. And I don't know how they cope.
Yeah, it's hard. I think I've done a lot of, I've done a lot of thinking about that. You know, I remember watching, there's this TV show that used to be called I Should Be Dead, and which is not something somebody who's having panic attacks on the regular should watch. But I would watch when it would be these people who had gotten into these like terrible situations. And I remember one where a person was horrifically injured while they were hiking and probably, I think, mauled by a bear and just all these terrible things that had happened. And at some point, he had gotten himself down off this mountain. He was in terrible. He'd like broken his back and his legs were broken. He's having to crawl over rocks. And I remember him saying, if I believed in God, I would be dead because I would have given up. I would have not continued to crawl because I would have thought, well, at least I can go to heaven. You know, I don't have to go to this. I mulled that over and over and over and over again. And then, you know, and then on the other hand of that, right, you have the saying, super famous, you know, everybody's heard it, there are no atheists in a foxhole, right? You know, and that of course, you know, came out of World War I and has stuck around in the American ethos forever. And I think we talked about leaning into humanity. I know a few very staunchly atheist people who I'm very close to, who I would say are calm and they're healthy. And what I have noticed is they also deeply push into humanity, which like Right. If you like, the Bible is the story of God's interaction with people. Right. And you can look at other religions, whether you're looking at the Quran or you can look at any of these tomes with the, you know, the Buddhist teachings. And ultimately it is about saying, how do I get in touch with this person and connect with these other people? Right. There's like me,
oneness.
There's me and there's us. Right. And yeah. So I think, sure, like you can be at peace and be healthy without a faith, but I think it's probably a lot harder, right? Because faith is what teaches us, right? Ultimately, faith isn't so much teaching me about God as it is teaching me about me and what I can and I can't control. And the only thing I can control is me, and I can't control anyone else. And I have to leave the rest of that up to God. And the way that plays out in my life has been the teachings of Jesus. I think it plays out for people in a lot of different ways. And those are the people, you know, I mean, we're still feeling like complete tremors of COVID. There are people who will never recover. And yeah. I don't mean physically, like we're learning about long COVID. We're learning about chest issues or what may or may not, you know, like for me, I, you know, my wife's a nurse and I have a company that does a lot of work with nursing homes. So like, I mean, I was vaxxed the first day, you know, uh-huh. This wasn't even an option. This was, you know, this is like, we're dealing with old people, you know, and the funny thing was, it never, ever for us was you're vaxxed, you're not vaxxed, you're good, you're bad, you're whatever. It's not, we're learning so much. We're learning so much about vaccines. We're learning so much about sickness, right?
We learned so much about fear.
That's right. And there's so many people who just couldn't, and who still, I think, just can't enter into, it doesn't matter, right? Who you think you should vote for, who you think should vax, or whether you should wear a mask, or whether you shouldn't wear a mask. What should always, 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 always matter is, how do I interact with the other human beings who are around me, and like
kindness.
Love myself and love them. And what does that really, really look like? And I think when you see people who have dealt with COVID well, those people learn to press in to other people, even when they were isolated in their home.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
Rob, that's such a good ending note. I want to give a shout out to your businesses that you're in now, the Alderman Group. Yeah. You're a CEO of a creative agency, the Alderman Group.
They're
in Cleveland, Tennessee, and founding partner of Social Joey Media Content Company.
I found it. I don't run that one. That one's sold to the Yellow Pages. We don't own that.
Oh, cool. Cool. Well, congratulations.
It was a good run.
And you're still making music and have an album that you're getting ready to put out, right?
We'll have an album out soon. My band is called Rob Alderman and The Unfortunate Return.
I love it. And if somebody wanted to connect with you, how can they reach out?
I'm Rob Alderman at everything.
Okay.
I'm Rob Alderman at Twitter. I'm Rob Alderman at Gmail. I'm Rob Alderman on Facebook, Snapchat, Instagram. You know, I took all the Rob Aldermans.
Awesome. Well, I am so happy that we have remained friends all these years, and I expect that we'll double that easily.
Do you think that the stars are gonna spend their light on you?
You're listening to Mystic Fix with Julia Gordon Bramer on News Talk STL.
Was there a choice and was it mine? I learned out every stitch I had.
Our spiritual journey tonight will begin.
Can't outrun your fate.
Let me tell you about you.
I know who you are, what you are, and why you have come.
Take a good look at these cards, young man. They contain all the secrets of the universe.
What does it say?
Welcome back to Mystic Fix. I'm Julia Gordon Bramer. Want a free tarot card reading on the show? Visit mysticfix.com to get your name on the list. Let's take our first caller. Brian, hi, it's Julia from Mystic Fix. How are you doing?
I'm wonderful.
Great. Do you have a question for me today?
How can I work with my inner child more?
Okay. All right. So we can help. Okay. So interestingly, your first card is the Seven of Swords in reverse, which is telling me that you do have trauma in your past. This can be a card of exploitation or abuse, being taken advantage of. Your inner child work will be for the purpose of healing that. And you've got a Queen of Cups in reverse, which, you know, I'm not sure this will be a super easy thing to do, but I would say seek a mother figure, because it does look like you need to be mothered even now, like you're missing some of that component in your life. You know, an older woman who just has a platonic love for you, who will hug you, who will support you, who will cheer you on. I see you have a real need for that. Your center card, Brian, is Strength. And the Strength card is a beautiful card. It's this beautiful woman, and she's taming a lion. And I like to say she tames the beast. You know, she handles the hard stuff. But the way she tames this lion is through gentleness and kindness and love. And that's actually you. And your beast is, you know, probably this history of either abuse or neglect or both. And so I'm just seeing kindness, gentleness to yourself now we're talking, because maybe you didn't get enough of that. You also have the Hermit card, which is our wise man. And the Hermit is on a spiritual quest, which you definitely are, not only by calling this show, but by even mentioning a subject like your inner child. And so I would say you have all the knowledge already. Follow your inner guidance. The Hermit is about introspection, meditation, listening within, to the voice within. The Hermit holds a lantern of enlightenment that others follow. So that's interesting to me, Brian, because you do have knowledge that could help others on this journey. But I do see you going it kind of solo, and that may be just because it's so private, you know. But your last card is the Wheel of Fortune in reverse, and it's an interesting card. It is less about money in this case and more about kind of a what goes around comes around philosophy. Sometimes the Wheel of Fortune can also be the Wheel of Time, but it does look to me, being in reverse, that there's pain in going back. There's pain in this reflecting. I just want to assure you, with that Strength card as your core card, your center card, you've got this. I think you already have the wisdom, but this is going to be going back, and I would really look for a female kind of mother mentor here.
Thank you so much.
You bet.
Hello.
Hello, Lisa. Do you have a question for me?
Well, yeah, I have been wondering a lot about next steps in life after retirement coming up in a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering if there was any guidance you can see for me.
Okay.
As far as choices I make.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Our first card, Lisa, is the Devil card. And the Devil is not about being evil. Yeah, it's not a bad card at all. It's more a card of luxury and enjoying life. That's your first That's your first directive. It's like, let's have some fun. Let's indulge. Let's sleep late. Let's party. Let's go on vacation. You know, the Devil lives large. So I really think it's going to be your time for that. So plan on it. Save for it. You know, I always say you don't want to just have the dream and hope that you get around to it. Make, you know, aggressively make some plans. Even if you can't do it just now, you know, you still have to work a couple more years. But you can get your itineraries planned. You can figure out about how much something might cost and save for it. But I'm just seeing this really being your time to live large. So
we like that.
Yeah, everybody does. So your next card is the Eight of Cups, which is just about putting the past behind you. You know, it's funny, the theme of this episode is the Tower card, and that one is also in your spread. And what I just said in the opening of the show, the Tower card, when we see it, you know, it says the foundation is wrong, the building has to come down, it's time to rebuild. It may not be that your life has been wrong per se, it's done now, you know, as far as the work that you've set up. And so I have to say that there is a little bit of feeling of, oh my God, at the same time. You know, you have your system. You've been doing this in a certain kind of routine that feels very good and leaves you as the Queen of Swords, which is your top card. So I have to say, I am seeing you struggling a little bit with retirement, which is our Five of Wands in reverse. It's more of a self-struggle than an actual struggle. So it's not like struggling for money or anything like that. It's more like, how am I going to spend my time? And someone like you who is clearly, as the Queen of Swords, very disciplined, very regimented, you know, she's almost our military queen, right? And so you have habits that it's going to be really weird for you to break these, and even a bit painful. So going on to your next card, it's the Two of Wands in reverse. Wands are creative energy. And they're excellent cards for writers and artists and actors and, you know, anyone who wants to do something on the creative plane. Yours in reverse is just saying you haven't had any time to do that. So now we're opening up a landscape for you. If you look at this card, this guy is holding a globe in his hand and he's looking into the future. And so I think it's going to be, as well as your time for living large and breaking all those routines, it's a time for creativity. Your last card is the King of Swords in reverse. So the kings are the men in our lives. And so this is probably a husband or a partner. But in reverse, I am seeing he has some different ideas on direction. So your first course of order is going to be to get on the same playing field as him. Because, you know, you may be like, okay, it's time to world travel, and he may be very focused on starting a vegetable garden and staying home. So really get some shared dreams, get some shared plans. Don't surprise each other or shock each other on how you want to spend your later years, because it has to work for both of you. And I am seeing just a little bit of a conflict with the way things are going energetically right now. So you got plenty of time to correct that. But I would say indulgence and fun and creativity. Those are your two main areas. Okay?
Nice. I like hearing that.
All right. Do you like tarot? Are you interested in learning to read the cards yourself? Or maybe just learning what it's like to be a tarot card reader? Do you want to see some of the juicier stories that people are more reluctant to give me on the air? My forthcoming book, Tarot Life Lessons, is going to be released November 7th with Destiny Books, an imprint of Inner Traditions. Tarot Life Lessons came from my real life diaries. You will see it all here: scandal, swindles, love, addiction, death, even murder. As a tarot card reader, I am entrusted with oftentimes very private information. I have heavily disguised all client stories, and of course, every one of these stories are real. You will get all of this, plus you'll understand how the cards show up for me, how I read them, and how I do not judge and have applied my own personal experience to some of these situations. Because we're all one, right? Tarot Life Lessons is available to pre-order on Amazon right now. In returning to that Tower card for one last moment, emotions are energy. Repressed emotions block our energy, exhausting us and making us sick as whatever is repressed finds a way to be expressed. That's the Tower blow up, and preventing this is where our sponsor, Comma Flight, comes in. When stuck emotions cause stress, we must move this energy so that the body can heal itself. Comma Flight is a unique fusion of acro yoga and contact improv. Its wide range of extended poses evoke a feeling of surrender and trust. There's the vessel, which is like a supporting person, and the voyager, also known as the flyer, that work together to create intimacy and connection. Kama flight is the ultimate aerial yoga experience. If you're interested, check out their Instagram videos at KAMAFLIGHT, where you'll find information on their workshops year-round at the Chosen Retreat Center in Sebastian, Florida. Well, we've done it again. This is our 17th episode of Mystic Fix, and around the Tower card, the hardest card of the tarot, it was maybe my hardest show to program, but I think our guest Rob Alderman could not have done it better. Remember that our video cast on YouTube has a little longer, less edited format with some fun visual comments I can't do on radio or podcast. I hope you'll like and subscribe as it makes a real difference in how we get ranked and found. I'm Julia Gordon Bramer. Can't wait to join you again next week. Thank you.
Getting dark, I'm lost and scared, I can't find shelter anywhere. You told me give it all away, just trust it, we'll come back someday. I gave my body and my voice, but do you think I had a choice? You know what, baby, I'm in hell, nothing but stories that I tell.